ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we spoke yesterday about the importance of dua, and as I said, this is the month of dua, Ramadan al-Kareem. So today let us look at the way of making dua. How must dua be made? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua in many places. In Surah Al-Fatiha itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to establish our connection with Him. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Before making the dua, establish the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, O Allah, I worship only You and I ask for help only from You. O Allah, show me the way and guide me to the path of steadfastness. This is the best dua, the most important dua that one can make, and that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this dua in Surah Al-Fatiha. The thing to note here is that Allah did not teach us to ask for the destination, although to ask for the destination, which is Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah, is perfectly acceptable and one should ask for it. But Allah showed us to ask for the path and told us that this is the path of steadfastness. So the two important things to understand is that yes, we can ask for the destination, but the destination is in the future and it's in the hereafter. The path is here in this dunya. We can ask for the destination, but we will not reach the destination unless we are on the right path and we remain on this right path with steadfastness. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask for the path of steadfastness. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So therefore, first and foremost, to understand for acceptance of dua, it is essential to make sure that there is no shirk in our lives, there are no bid'at in our lives, there is no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, there is no asking for help from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, that we actually live by this declaration that we make in every rakat of every salah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. How sad and unfortunate it would be if we said إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, but then once the salah is over, we commit shirk and we commit bid'at and we ask for help from others other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would be like telling a lie directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the first condition of acceptance of dua, insha'Allah, is to correct our aqidah and our amal. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in Surah Maryam, He narrated for us the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. And before the actual dua, before mentioning what Zakariya alayhi salam asked for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described for us Zakariya alayhi salam's state and the way he asked, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nida'an khafiyya. Zakariya alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a soft and small voice. A man came into the masjid when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting there and he started making dua and he started saying loudly, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, lower your voice, your Rabb is not deaf. So Zakariya alayhi salam is, Allah showed us his example as the ideal of the person making dua, where Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah said, he said, Nida and Khafiyya. He asked him in a small and soft voice. This is because it is the essence of ubudiyat. It is the essence of the abd. It is the essence of the slave that he lowers himself and submits himself before his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So therefore, that's the first thing, which is adab. The adab of asking dua is to do it with complete and total humility by understanding and accepting our reality. When we are being humble, we are not putting on an act. We are not trying to be humble. We are humble. We are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are less than nothing. We are not nothing. We are less than nothing. And we are accepting this reality and saying, Ya Rabb, I am less than nothing. I am your abd. I am your makhluq. I exist only and only because you created me, and I will exist only and only until you decide to remove me from this earth and to call me to yourself. And therefore, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all humility. The second thing which Zakariya alayhi salam did was that before he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his favor, he described for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his own helplessness and weakness. Now of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more aware of our reality than we can be aware ourselves. But again, this is the essence of ubudiyat, that the abd presents himself before his Rabb in all humility, and totally he accepts his own weakness and his own helplessness in the matter. So Zakariya alayhi salam says, "Oh Allah, I have become old and my bones have become weak and my hair has become white and my wife is long past the age of childbearing." So now he's exposing the weakness of his claim, and he's exposing his helplessness in the matter. And then comes the punchline, which is that when he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not asking keeping in mind his own condition. He is not asking keeping in mind his own constraints. He is not asking keeping in mind his own limitations. He is asking Allah, keeping in mind the fact that Allah has no constraints, that Allah has no limitations, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures have no limit. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with the grace and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he says, "Oh Allah, give me a warith. Give me an heir to carry forward this work of Da'watul Islam that you have entrusted to me, because I have no son, I have no child to take this work forward, and there are enemies who would like to stop this work. So give me a warith. Give me somebody who will take this work forward." My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, let us think about this and say that when he asked him for this, he mentioned the weaknesses. But when he's asking for something which, keeping the weaknesses and keeping the constraints and keeping our so-called logic and keeping our so-called reality in mind, what he is asking for is impossible. It is simply not possible for an old man of that age and an old woman of that age to have a child. But Zakariya alayhi salam is not saying, "Oh Allah, give me a second wife, a young woman, and then give me a child through her." No. He is saying, this woman who is my wife and me, as we are, we stand before you, Ya Allah, and give us an heir. Give us a child. So the third condition of dua is that when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we forget about all the constraints. We mention the constraints and we mention our limitations and we mention our weaknesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sign of our ubudiyat, as a sign of being slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we remove all of this from our minds. We discard all of this from our minds and we say, "Oh Allah, I'm asking you because you are you. I'm asking you because you can only do this. And I'm asking you because only you are capable of doing this. So do this for me because you are capable of doing this. Give it to me because I'm asking you. Give it to me because I don't ask anybody else. Give it to me because only you can give." This is the meaning of dua. This is how we make dua. My brothers and sisters, for dua, it is important to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that pleases Him in His glory and majesty. And therefore, one must build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best time to do that is in tahajjud. So pray tahajjud, make tahajjud fard on yourself, ensure that you never miss tahajjud, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud. That is the whole purpose of tahajjud, that we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make du'as which are pleasing to Him and to make du'as which are beneficial for us, and to give us what we ask with afia, which is the final point that I want to make and remind myself and you, is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, always ask Allah for afia. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afia. Oh Allah, I ask you for afia. I ask you for it's again one of those wonderful Arabic words which is practically impossible to translate and do justice to the translation. Afia is everything that is good in something. Because, for example, you might say, oh Allah, give me a child, right? Now, then you find that this child you got is either defective, or the child is not defective but grows up into a person who is absolutely obnoxious and painful, and the child is now a source of pain for you and a source of suffering for you instead of being a joy in your life. You ask for a child, you got a child, right? You ask Allah for wealth, you got the wealth, but along with the wealth, you got a whole lot of problems with the wealth and people trying to get it from you and all kinds of stuff is happening to you. You ask for wealth and you got wealth. So also with many other things that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, which is very likely because we don't know what is the reality behind that. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this also in the Quran in another context, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, it is possible that you dislike something, but there is goodness in it for you. And it is possible that you love something, but there is evil in it for you. And Allah knows and you do not know. And therefore, when the slave asks for afia, and he says, oh Allah, inni asaluka al-afia, Allahumma inni asaluka al-afia, oh Allah, give me afia, oh Allah, give me wealth with afia, give me health with afia, give me a spouse with afia, give me children with afia, give me authority with afia, give me a job with afia, business with afia, and so on. When you ask for this afiat in your life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you and He removes the power, the potential for evil from whatever we have asked. And that's why it's very important to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever we ask and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi d-dini wa d-dunya wa al-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi d-dini wa d-dunya wa al-akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana atina fi d-dunya hasanatan wa fi l-akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar. These are the simple du'as of the Quran and simple du'as of Rasulullah ﷺ, which are so complete in themselves that this one du'a is enough for us, inshallah. Finally, to close, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain for asking questions. A Sahabi asked Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, you make so much of du'a. We hear you making so many du'as, so many times of the day, so many occasions. Every time, sitting, standing, lying down, every occasion, you make dua. And there are such beautiful, beautiful duas that you make. But he said, Ya Rasulullah, we are weak, our memories are not great. And therefore, he said, I would like to remember all your duas and make all those duas for myself. But I find that I forget these duas. And sometimes I remember them, sometimes I forget them. So please teach me one dua, which if I make, it encompasses all the du'as that you make. See the beautiful question that he asked. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and enhance and increase his jannat, his levels in jannah. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he said, show me and teach me one du'a which encompasses the goodness of all the du'as that you make. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the best of reward, because this deen we got through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the door to Jannah. He is the guide to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the means by which we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who thinks he can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without the link with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without the connection with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is completely and totally mistaken and misguided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. So the Sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and taught him this beautiful dua. So please learn this dua for yourself. Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'aza minhu nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. He said, oh Allah, I ask you for all the good things and all the khair and all the blessing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks you for. And I ask you for protection from all the evil and all the threats and all the dangers that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought your protection from. And O Allah, you are the best of helpers, and only you can help. And all glory and majesty to you, and there is nothing that is possible and nothing that happens unless you wish it to happen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to grant all your du'as with khair, with afiyah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to inspire you to say the words that He would like to hear from you, and then to accept those words from you, and then to give you what you ask with khair and afiyah, and then to increase that from His generosity. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.